Isn't it good? Listen, if after you got saved, there was no change in your life, good chance you really didn't get saved. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't judge. I'm not judging. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Born again. Amen. Not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. And so there is a definite change that will take place in a believer. Now, what we've done is we have right doctrine on this. That's what I'm going to say. But we have wrong thoughts about it. And Brother Shane, I 100% believe in eternal security. There's nobody believes in it any more than I do. But we've been sold this bill of goods that once you get saved, we'll say once saved, always saved. I don't use that terminology. Because here's what we do. We'll say, well, that means I can do whatever I want to do. The transaction's taking place. I can do whatever I want to do, and I can't go to hell. Well, here's the problem with that. What you're saying is, old things have not passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There should be a desire in a believer that wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There should be a desire to change, not just clean up the outside, but that there will be a change from the inside. So we come in this whole idea of, well, they said a prayer when they were 5 years old. They just hadn't been living for the Lord for the last 50 years. There's a problem with that. If the Lord does not chasten a man who says that he is a Christian, he's not one of his.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
And so I'm thankful for the day the Lord passed by.
Yes,
and I was telling a man today at lunch, listen, I grew up in church. I grew up in a Baptist church, heard the gospel preached every single week, went to Awana's. I mean, you name it, buddy. I went to youth camp and got thrown out of one, praise the Lord. And I mean, we went to revivals. But here's the thing. Just going to church doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
It's what takes place in the heart.
Right.
And that's where a lot of people have gotten in. I think it was R.G. Lee years ago said he believed 80% of people sitting in Baptist churches were lost. You say, well, that's a high number. Well, I'll tell you this. Let me ask you this. How many have we watched? And I'm not, again, not saying judge. I'm saying how many have we watched over your lifetime that were in the fight for a little while? Hung in there for a little while, right? And you start looking at those seven churches, right? Now, the thing is, well, and if I wouldn't have laid out Sunday, we'd have talked about it, but we'll get to it, right? Over and over, you'll see in those letters, the Lord talks about those who will endure, right? Now, they ain't talking about tribulation. That's talking about those that will endure the persecution that goes along. But there was always that remnant within the church. It wasn't the whole church. It was a remnant. And I believe we're in the same day. We're in the Laodicean church age, 100%. There's a remnant, and God's always had a remnant, right? And so we're looking today, we're saying, well, look at the state of Christianity. Well, I'm not looking at the whole state of Christianity because the whole state of Christianity is not Christianity. We have to believe this book. And so we better be careful in the day we live with all this emotionalism and all this stuff going on in our world that we're not to be tossed to and fro, right? We can't go with every wind of doctrine. Doctrine's important. The Bible is important, and we have to stay with the Word of God. So there's a message that was one of the ones you missed on Sunday. And why don't you turn to Proverbs 24, and we'll begin verse number 5. Something else I was thinking while Miss Susan was playing that song for the kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a what? You ever thought when God planted that sycamore tree? Long time before Zacchaeus got there. See, he was working in Zacchaeus' life before Zacchaeus ever heard that he was passing by that way. And so when you think God is not doing anything, he's always working behind the scenes. Amen. Proverbs 24, verse number 5. The Bible said, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Notice, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. And the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Now again, as Solomon is writing this, as he is writing these Proverbs, he thinks back to his dad, David, thinks back to his own life. Now he's writing to his son again about wisdom. Now I know you say, oh, preacher, we've been on Proverbs for 3 years talking about wisdom. I've got it. Well, do we really? Because a lot of times, let's be honest, we're hearers of the word, we're not doers of the word, and that's not wisdom. And so there's so much information available to us now, it's overwhelming. I mean, you think about when Solomon wrote this, he was telling his son to be careful who he surrounds himself with, and the amount of information was minuscule. Now, you can, in 5 minutes, go on the internet, have more information than the average person 100 years ago had in their whole lifetime. And so if there was a need for wisdom then and a need to be careful who you surround yourself then, think about how much more it is important for us today. And so you can find information on anything you want to. I mean, let's be honest. If you want to try to prove some doctrine that you heard a guy, and you're going, I just don't know. I promise you, you can Google it, and there'll be 19 million entries on that very thing. But I'd say this, the best place you can get what you believe is out of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. And so if it was important in Solomon's day, it's important today. And so think of how much more important it is for us today to make sure that we have wise people around us, right? Here's the problem. What do you think, what would you say causes someone to not want to seek counsel? Pride. Brother Johnny said it, pride. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I'm a grown man, I'm a grown woman, I'm a 19-year-old boy, I'm a 19-year-old. Anybody gonna tell me what to do? Well, you're not wise. I mean, the fact is, we must be careful who we listen to in everything. The Bible says we're to try the spirits, right? In other words, we're to prove things. And the Lord even tells us that we can prove Him, right? Taste of the Lord, see that He's good. He is always 100% right, 100% accurate, 100%. Every time you read the Word of God, it'll be true. Now, the Bible said, let God be true and every man what? A liar. Why? Because our flesh is sinful. Our flesh is weak. Sometimes we'll tell people things not meaning to mislead them. We may have wrong information and pass that information along. And the fact is, you're not meaning to be a liar, but what you're telling is a lie. You say, I don't agree with that, preacher. Well, sure, you don't have to agree. Because the absence of truth is what? A lie. So it doesn't matter if you meant to lie or not, if you're not telling the truth 100%, because here's our society, the world we live in. Well, I didn't say that, right? You didn't. You asked me the question, I answered it, but you didn't ask me that particular part, so I left it out. So technically, I like that word technically. Technically, I didn't lie. If you didn't tell the truth, that's what it is. And so we must be careful who we listen to and who we get ourselves around. And we need to be careful, Solomon said here, just be careful who you listen to. Now, we'll say things like, well, that's exactly right. Need to tell these young people they need to be careful who their friends are. We've said 1,000 times. But moms and dads don't mind surrounding themselves with those type people. So I'd say this, moms and dads, if kids need to be careful who they surround themselves with, you better do the same. Listen, adults can lead you astray just like teenagers can lead other teenagers astray. And so I'll give you two things tonight. I know you're looking. Hey, there's one. Miss Ellen asked me, she says, I'm doing this outline. You only got one point. I said, yep, I got like 8 sub-points and 15 sub-sub-points. So don't get too excited because we only got 2 points. Right. So number one, Solomon is dealing with the importance of wise counsel. Can we agree tonight that getting wise counsel is important? Right. Why? Because when we, I'll give you an example. Normally, if there's a road sign on the side of the road that says a sharp curve ahead 30 miles per hour and you go 70 miles per hour around that curve, what's going to happen? You're probably going to hit something, right? Well, the road sign is warning you that there is a curve ahead. Whether or not you listen to it is on you, right? The information's there. The wisdom is the ability to take the information and decide what to do with it. And I'd say this, that wise counsel in your life and mine is important. Well, preacher, I just don't want to ask people. Well, that's on you. Because, Brother Johnny, what happens is, and I've sat in my office, I've talked to people on the phone over the last few weeks about things in their life, and here's what they do. They don't come to me until hope is lost. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's not wise counsel to wait until hope is lost to seek out the counsel. Wisdom will tell you to go at the beginning. And the Bible said here, notice in verse number 5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength, but for by wise counsel. So those two verses are connected. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Didn't say you determine later whether or not you should have gone to war. It says you surround yourself with wise counsel before you go to war. And so you and I have got to stop waiting and making all the mistakes that we make and then seeking counsel on how to fix it. Amen. Good preaching. So the importance of wise counsel is this. First of all, for strength. Now, here, the Bible is telling us a sensible man will surround himself with wise counsel. Not yes men. Not people that are just going to tell you what you want to hear. Not seek out people. Well, that's not what I want to hear. I want to find somebody that agrees with me no matter how bad my sin is, no matter how bad I mess things up. You know what? The reason people, let's be honest, the reason most people are in the mess they're in today is because they wouldn't listen to wise counsel at the beginning. Here's what happens. They'll do something that they know's wrong, but they've sought counsel out, and the counsel will tell them, oh, it'll be okay. Then they'll get themselves in the mess, and I hear it. You'll know this if you ever listen to the radio, listen to Dave Ramsey. Me and Ellen were watching something last night. She said, you want to watch Dave Ramsey? I said, I don't need to listen to Dave Ramsey. I know everything he's going to say because I've listened to him for 20 years tell people the same thing. What you're doing stupid. But every time there'll be somebody call in and say, well, you just don't understand my situation. That won't work for me, right? My situation's different than that. And so therefore, biblical financial principles will not work for me. I've got this new scheme on how to do it. And, well, the scheme's what got you in the mess to start with. Right? And so what happens is, instead of going on the front end and saying, okay, young person, let me go ahead and figure out my finances now, right? Biblical finances, like, well, let me make a mess of it, make all the mistakes I can make, and then find somebody to tell me how to get out of it. Wouldn't it be wiser not to make the mistakes to start with? Well, that's what the Bible's telling us. If you'll put the right people around you, it will keep you out of a lot of wars that you shouldn't fight, right? And so here we have to understand that the strength that we're looking at is not our own strength. In other words, we're looking for people with experience. The young person, let me say this. You may think your mom and dad's crazy. You may think they're out of touch. But here's what they've got. Experience. Amen. Listen here, 40-year-old, 50-year-old. You got some of these white-haired saints in here. You better understand that in your 40s and 50s where you don't know what to do, you ought to go for them for counsel because they've already been there. Iron sharpens iron. We need someone that we trust to tell us the truth. We got wonderful deacons and trustees. You ask them, in 20 years, we've not had a problem. Because here's why. Number one, when we go in there and talk about stuff, we're not going to come out and talk about it to you unless we're in agreement. There's been times where I've said, fellas, I think we ought to do this. And they'll say, well, preacher, maybe we ought to look at this, or maybe we ought to pray about this. Listen, I'm smart enough to know I don't know everything. Now, I understand this, Brother Shane, that as the pastor of this church, I'm the leader of this church. But I'd be dumb to think that my way is right every single time.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's exactly right, preacher. Well, let me tell you this, bub. You ain't any better.
That's right.
You run around beating on your coffee table telling your wife, bless God, I'm the head of this home. Maybe you ought to listen to her once in a while. Your kids might have some better ideas about things than you do. Well, now, preacher, that's exactly right. Pride.
That's right.
Amen. Listen, pride. If you already had it figured out, you'd have already had it figured out.
Right?
And so we have to understand others may see weaknesses and strength that we're blind to. I've got a friend that's a personal trainer. I called him 2020. I said, listen, I'm out of shape. And I've worked with him before, and after a few times, I said, listen, I don't need your help. I know what I'm doing. Here's what he did. He said, I'll work with you, but you're going to do what I tell you to do. He said, you're going to meet me every day for lunch. This was in August of 2020 until the middle of November. I said, okay. He said, miss one time, we're done. How about that? I went in there the first day. I remember I walked in there. I said, all right. I walked out of there. Right? Well, I didn't need to call him if I didn't want to hear what he had to say.
Right?
Right? If I had it all figured out, I wouldn't need his help.
Amen.
And see, that's the way a lot of Christians, I got it all figured out. Well, then you don't need any help. But then when the wheels fall off, you want somebody to pick up the pieces. And most of the time, you know what people want? To tell you you're right.
Right.
Well, if you're right, the wheels wouldn't have fell off.
Amen. Right.
Amen. That's good preaching.
Yes, sir. Right.
See, we don't want confrontation. We don't want somebody to say, listen, but a wise man would say, I just want to know the truth. I want to see if you see the same thing I do.
Amen.
And if you don't, tell me.
Amen.
So we can make the best decision.
Yes, sir.
Maybe it is to get us out of a battle or maybe to prevent us from going into a battle. Listen, folks, you don't have to go through all the mess you're going through. If you'll seek out some wisdom and some counsel, someone who's already been through it, wisdom is learning from someone else's mistakes. And, well, I'm the type of person, I just have to learn from my own mistakes. You know what you just said? That you're proud, stubborn,
right.
And you're heading for destruction.
Yes, right.
You're heading for some heartaches.
Right.
Am I telling it right?
Yes, sir.
You're running well. Good. Well, I'm just going to do it my way. Well, help yourself. Right? Help yourself.
Right.
But you'll be calling somebody at some time to pick up the pieces. So,
yes,
wise counsel for strength. Dealing with our weakness makes us stronger. You don't have to be right all the time. You'll never get any better if you do not recognize your weakness. And if someone else points. Now listen, I understand. Don't you run out of here, some of you husbands and wives, and say, well, bless God, preacher just gave me an excuse to let my husband know everything that I think he does wrong. You might be opening up a can of worms because he might turn it right back on you.
Right.
It is the intention and the attitude. And let me say this. This is a side note. You ready for this? Better write this down. Because we've already dealt with in Proverbs. If someone's not ready to hear your wisdom, you're wasting your breath.
Right.
If they're not asking you for your advice, you'd do well just keep your pie hole shut.
That's right.
I'm just going to speak my mind. Help yourself.
Right.
It would be a good idea for some Christians to learn when to.
That's right.
Amen.
For strength. Wise counsel for safety. Notice what the Bible said in verse 5. A wise man is what? Strong.
Yes.
Why is he strong? Well, goes on to say in verse 5, a man of knowledge increaseth strength.
Yes.
Now, some of you that's got out of school and you say, well, I'm done learning. Then you're dying.
That's right?
Yes, as long as you're drawing breath, you should be learning. Well, I just don't like to read. Okay. Well, I don't have time. Well, you know when you're doing this, you're reading.
That's right. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Verse 6 says this, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." Notice, and in multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. I don't want to go into battle by myself. I've said this often. I don't mind standing up for what's right. I don't mind taking some bullets. But when I look around, y'all better be with me. Because you know what happens, Brother Chris? Like, amen, preacher, preach it straight. We're behind you till the bullets start flying. Till the persecution, till the canceling starts, amen. It's like, whoa, now, I didn't sign up for this, right? Don't throw me out to get shot if you're not willing to take a few shots yourself, amen. So a wise man seeks wise counsel before we go into battles. And in the multitude of counsel, not one, right? Not my yes man, multitude, that means many, right? There are times that I've got preacher friends, and I'll call some, and they'll be like, yep, sounds like a good idea. Then I'll call others and say, I don't know, let's pray about it. I want a multitude of them, not just one, not a yes man. I want a multitude of people helping me make the right decision. We do that in the church, right? There's times I'll say, listen, church, choir, what do we need to do here? Deacons, what do we need to do here? Sunday school teachers, my wife, our staff, what do we need to do? Now, I could just tell them, Brother Russell, I'd just say, listen, here's what we're going to do. And they'd be like, okay, let's do it. But the more people we include in the decision, the stronger the decision is. I'm going to make my own decision. Problem with that is not safety in it. Wisdom keeps us out of situations that could be harmful. About you, I'm 52 years old. Stuff hurts, so I want to stay out as much pain and harmful things as I can, because it hurts worse, right? Well, spiritually, listen, when you get yourself in a mess, it hurts. Well, wise men say, is there anybody, let's be honest, I want to make sure I'm talking to sane people. Is there anybody that enjoys pain? Because we need to have counseling tonight. Anybody? I just enjoy pain. I love it. You got some wires that need adjusting. Well, then why do we run towards it?
That's good.
Why do we not heed the warnings of the Word of God? Why is it, young people, when your moms and dads are telling you don't do this, you're going, yeah, but you don't understand. They do understand.
Yes, they do.
Why is it that when pastor's preaching and some of you sitting tonight and I see it in people's face on Sunday going, preach on, man of God, but I ain't doing it.
Come on. Good.
Brother Kenneth, why is it? When we preach on giving to missions, feel like, nope,
right.
Not me.
Right.
I ain't giving to missions. Let them missionaries find their own money, right? God says that I know that, but listen, I got other stuff I want to spend my money on. There's your problem.
That's right.
Right? So what we do?
You're right.
Then your 401k hits the ground like a safe out of a 10-story window. You and I just don't know what happened. It must be the government. Or it could be that you're robbing God. Some of you say, boy, I wish he'd be sick and go home again. Right? We don't want to hear what's safe. God said, I'm giving you all these principles in the Word of God, all these commandments to help you and keep you safe. And you know what you're doing? Today, we went and my sister's got two dogs and she's got a fence. She's renting a house and those dogs keep getting out of the fence. Now, that fence is there to what? Protect them. They don't know that. They just go, out there looks fun. That looks like where I want to be. I don't like this, the confinement of the fence. So they gotten out. Whenever they put some wood up, they may eat through it. I don't know. They may be half beavers. But you know, we do the same thing. God's saying, listen,
right.
Here's your fence.
Thank God.
Here's your fence. Stay in there. You're going to be all right. And we go, whoa. No, sir, God. I want to go out here where it looks more fun.
Right.
Then we get ourselves in a mess. And we go, I just don't understand how that happened.
That's right.
My heart told me. There you go. In my heart of hearts, which you talking about the deceitful one or the extra deceitful one? That one, right? God's warning, stay away from that. I don't think it'd be that harmful.
Come on, you're right.
Safety.
Right?
Right?
Yes, sir.
No, I want to do it my way. Go ahead. One day you'll be picking the pieces up.
You're right.
I'm thinking, my wife will tell you, listen, let me tell you this. Satan is on the prowl. He is attacking. He's attacking homes.
Right.
He's attacking people. I'm going to be honest with you. They know better. I'm not talking about novel Christians that just got saved. I'm talking about folks been saved a while.
Right.
They're just saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. You better be careful with that.
Yes,
you better surround yourself with wise people, and it will keep us out of much that will harm us. Did I say to keep you out of everything? No, because Satan is always on the prowl.
Right?
Satan is always tempting. There will be trials in our life because we're Christians. But a lot of what we consider trials are stuff we get ourselves, the mess we get ourselves in, and then we'll look up and go, God, I just want you to get me out of it. Well, he didn't get you in it. Preacher, I need some help. I've been trying to help you for 20 years. You wouldn't listen. Right? You won't have come to church. Right? Sunday school, not there. Sunday morning, maybe. Sunday night, Wednesday, never. But you're my pastor. No, I'm not. You wouldn't let me be your pastor.
Good.
You wouldn't let me be your pastor. Now all of a sudden you want somebody to help you dig out, right? Now I want you to be my pastor.
Right.
Wouldn't let me for all this time. Why now? Because
yes,
there's no other option.
Amen.
Friend, that ain't wise. That's not wisdom.
That's
wisdom
right.
Takes the word of God, takes the wise counsel, the multitude of counselors saying don't go in that direction and go, they see something I don't. They see what I don't. And maybe this one time I just need to do what is not what my heart's telling me to do. So number one, the importance of wise counsel. Number two, see, I told you, I only got 2 points. The impotence of wicked counsel. Bible said in verse 7, wisdom is too high for a fool. It's up here. He's down here, right? He's doing the, makes sense to me. Well, sounds like a good idea to me. Not, hey, let's pray about this. Let's see what the word of God. No, no. The fool says, yeah, sounds like a good plan to me. That's what you want to do? All for it. Live for yourself, right? Do what makes you happy.
Right.
Do what makes you feel good.
Right?
Right? So, wisdom is too high for a fool.
Right.
He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person, and the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So what's he saying? Verse 7 describes the silent fool. In other words, they've been promoted maybe in your inner circle. You've let them in. You let them have your ear. You've let them talk to you, but they don't really have the ability or the knowledge or the wisdom to speak wisdom to you,
right?
And so the discussion is over their head. You ever met somebody like that? They don't have a clue what they're talking about, but they don't want to admit they don't know. Well, you hear two people talking about business. I'll tell you what I do. Listen, I watch this financial show. I read this book. I read this article, right? That's where you better be careful. Man, I read this article. It told, bam, 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 that's what you ought to do. I talked to a friend of mine. He said, you know, instead of hiring a lawyer, all you got to do, when you hear somebody say this, all you got to do is, you better run the other direction. Right? Now, I'm not saying they're flawless. But that attorney spent a lot of money, went to law school to learn what? The law. You read an article. That doctor, most cases, same thing, they went to medical school, and if they're good, right? If they're good and they're not sold out, that's good preaching right there. They're not just going to pop you a pill for everything's wrong with you. They studied, watch this, the human body. But you read an article. You went to WebMD. You checked it out on Wikipedia. And your friend, who knows less than you do, told you how to heal that ailment. Huh?
Right.
And that's the advice we're going to take.
That's right.
It's better just say this. I don't know.
That's right.
That, you know what, Brother Jeff? There is a comfort in those words. I don't know. Because we live in a world, Brother Bobby, you know what? That people, they'll nail you to the wall.
Right.
They'll hold you liable.
Yes, sir.
They'll sue you.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes,
sir. I've sat back in my office, and preachers really need to be careful of this. You're not a certified counselor. They'll come back and I'll say, well, preacher, I need some counsel. Can you tell me this? I'll say, I don't know. The Bible says this. Well, what do you think? I think what the Bible says. But if you want more counsel or you need help in this area that I'm not an expert in, you need to find a Christian counselor. I'm talking about a real Christian counselor, not some jackleg that's got a Christian counselor, got a fish on their sign. Just because you got a fish don't mean you know the Lord. I'm talking about somebody that's going to give you what the Bible said. So people come to me, I don't have a problem with it, right? I don't want to get burned. I don't want to get arrested. I don't want people to run my name. Well, preacher told me to do this. Here's how it turned out. I'll give you the Bible, but if I don't know it, I'm not going to tell you.
That's right.
And you can think I'm the dumbest guy on the face of the earth. I don't care.
That's right.
Right? I'll tell you I am, praise God. There is, you listening to me? There is some, you ever heard the terminology, ignorance is bliss? There is some bliss in ignorance, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear about? Mm-mm. Well, let me. I don't want to know.
That's right.
Right? Do you know? No. Right? Somebody asked me the other day, said, what do you think about that thing going on up there in Kentucky? I said, I don't know. What's your opinion? Don't have one.
That's right.
I'm worried about what's going on here.
Amen.
Huh? I know somebody somewhere, one of the brethren, they're going to get a hold of that and say, Brother McDaniel's a compromiser because he's not ridiculing that Asbury stuff. I ain't there, man.
Right.
I don't know what's going on.
Amen.
What I know is what we need.
That's
we
right.
need revival up
Amen.
In here. I need revival in my heart,
Amen.
Right? Good preaching right there.
Right.
It's better to stay silent. Then talk about stuff you don't know.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But watch this. It's also the foolish man that'll stay silent because he's afraid.
That's right.
See, can I help you with something tonight?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We wouldn't be near the mess we're in this country if God's people would stand up once in a while and say, mm-mm, ain't happening here.
Amen.
Right?
You're right.
Well, preacher, you know the government now. Now, they... You do realize they work for you. You do realize every time you had that money taken out of your taxes that goes to pay their salary. Now, where I come from, if you're paying somebody's salary, you work for them.
That's right.
God's people, we just want to stay in our four walls of the church. We don't want to cause any trouble. Guess what? We can't do that anymore. We've done that so long now, they're telling you what you have to accept in the house of God.
That's right.
Why? Because we stayed silent.
Right.
I'm not talking about being militant, that's getting up. Right. I'm talking about just, that ain't happening here.
Amen.
Right? Listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it comes down to it. And all this disrespect for marriage comes, and they say, well, you got to marry them too. I'll not do it. Brother Ken, I'd just soon pour diesel fuel on the whole place and light it up before I do that.
That's right.
Desecrate the house of God with
yes,
that garbage?
Sir.
No,
yes, sir. Amen.
But you keep silent fools.
That's right.
Huh? We so caught up in the next movie and the next social media post. Praise God, I'm preaching.
Right.
We don't know the word of God. We don't have to know what's going on. We'll believe everything they tell us on TV.
Right.
Well, I'd done gone to meddling how, hadn't I? We've stayed silent, and we're paying the price.
Yes, you're right.
Next is verse 8, the sinful fool.
That's right.
The Bible said, he that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. That word mischievous means a genius at plots. Someone who devises evil plans and has others carried out for him. Isn't that good? My hands are clean. Remember Pilate? I've got no fault in him. You know what he thought? He thought by saying that he was free of the blood of Christ. But he was as guilty as the rest of them. Huh? You better be careful, that sinful fool. You better watch that one that always has this plan, right? This sinister plan about, we call it manipulation. Right, you better watch them putting them in your inner circle.
Yes.
They should not be in your circle.
Amen.
We should not look up to them.
Amen.
We shouldn't. Man, I tell you what, they got a diabolical mind, but they figured out how to cheat the tax code.
Come on, preach on.
Tell me that get rich quick. How did you do that, huh?
Preach on.
Right? Better be careful.
That's right. Preach
You're
on,
right.
preacher.
Hey. I tell you what, Brother Jerry, I've seen churches get in a mess. Because they say, well, you know what we're going to do? This guy, he came in, told us we just put this money in this account. It'd give us 12% return on it. Till he takes it to Bermuda.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Old Bernie Madoff, remember him? He was slick. So you better be careful, that mischievous person. Always got this angle on something. Don't let them in your inner circle. You better run from them. You cannot outdo hard work, common sense,
right,
and the Bible.
Right.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God's principles are there for your safety.
Yes, it is.
Well, so yeah, but we live in a day. Hey, let me watch this. A few years ago, you know what's coming out? Cryptocurrency. Remember that? This is a new way. Government can't keep track of. I mean, it's just going up and up and up. It's going to keep going up. What happened? That dude took all that money,
right?
Stole all that money, went down to Bermuda. Athletes, actresses, all that. People like me and you. Not me. I didn't do it, praise God. Cryptocurrency, that's a new thing. That's the easy way. Yep. Remember 2008? Housing crisis?
Yes, sir.
Remember that? You know what they did? And I heard it. Listen. I talked to people. Not my fault. The government told banks, loan more money for houses. We want more people to own houses.
Right.
So you know what they did? They said, how much money you make a year? Well, I make $500,000. They didn't ask to verify any of it. How much you make? $500,000. Where you work at? In the food line. Bagging groceries, making $500,000. You praise God. I'd take that, wouldn't you? Oh, how much can you afford a month, you think? I don't know. You tell me. $1,500 a month. Oh, man, I just bought me a $500,000 house, $1,500 a month. What they didn't tell you is interest only. 5 years, you know what's going to happen? Right. They're going to say, oh, by the way, we're going to attack the principal now.
Right.
People lost their homes.
Right.
They'll say, what, my fault? The bank, you know what? It was your fault. You didn't read it.
Right.
Don't sign stuff you don't read.
Amen.
Well, I'm giving you some stuff tonight, praise God.
Amen.
Mischievous, right?
Yes.
Sinful.
Yes.
And then finally, verse number 9, the scornful fool. Bible said the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So the thought, notice what it says, the thought of foolishness. Not just doing it, the Bible said thinking it. The thought of foolishness is sin. To think of a sinful plot is sinful. The Bible tells us we're to control our thoughts. Right? I just can't help my mind runs wild. Well, you don't believe your Bible. We're to even have our thoughts under subjection, because God knows our heart.
That's good.
Just because you don't speak it, remember what he said? Man that looks on a woman lust after has committed adultery where? In his heart.
Right. Yes,
now you know what a fleshly man would say? Well, that proves it. If you think it, you might as well do it. No. What God's saying, you shouldn't even think it. You need to bring that thought in subjection.
Amen.
Right? So, we've got to learn to surround ourselves with wise people.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I look back. Many of you do the same. You look back at some men that and some women that impacted your life.
Yes, sir.
With wisdom.
Yes, sir.
I can think of a lot of people that tried to take me down the wrong road, and some did.
Yes, sir.
But that, by the way, that's my choice.
That's right.
Right? I chose that. But then I think about some men that I thought enough of them. Brother Fry.
Right.
Bill Barber. I was thinking, Brother Wade Finney.
Right.
I think of men like that I looked at them and something hit me early on in ministry, Brother Shane, that
yes.
There are people that know more about this thing than I do.
Oh, yes, sir. Amen.
I learned what I know about missions from people like Alan Barker. From missionaries that come in, I'd talk about what works and what doesn't work. What are you seeing out there? How have churches been blessings to you?
Amen.
I don't know what they're seeing out there.
Right?
Right? I sat down one time for several hours with Brother Bobby Robertson.
Yes, sir.
Pastor's one of the biggest churches, pastored one of the biggest churches in America, but definitely in our state.
Yeah.
I just said, listen, talk to me like I'm five. By the way, you get around people like that, don't talk.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Don't.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to impress them by what. You're not impressing.
That's right.
Just listen.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I was in a meeting the other day with several preachers. And there were two. Man, they controlled the whole thing, talked the whole time. My wife tell you, if I talk and I'm interrupted, I'll just clam up and I'll sit back. If I sat there like this the whole time, ate my lunch, went on to the house. You can learn a lot by listening.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Surround yourself with people that are wise.
Good.
Take their counsel.
Yes, sir.
Before you go to war. Before you make decisions, before you step out and do something, right? Take the counsel of the Word of God. Take the counsel of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Take the counsel of prayer.
Yes.
Take the counsel of some wise people you've surrounded yourself. And if it's of God, you know what will happen? They'll all line up together.
Yes,
God will give you peace.
Oh, yes.
Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you so much for your attention.
Yes.
The altar's open. Maybe there's situations in your life you need to pray about and ask God for wisdom. Maybe you would come and say, God, help me to be one of those wise counselors. God, show me some wise counselors that you'll put in my life that'll help me. Listen, that's the beauty of this thing. God gives us so many tools to help us along this journey. And to be proud and stubborn and not use the tools, God gives us His Word.
Right.
If you're not in the Word of God, if you're not studying your Bible,
right.
Young person, listen. Get off Facebook.
That's right.
Get off social media.
Yes.
Get off your telephone.
Come on.
Get your face in this book.
Yes.
Spend time in prayer. Be at the youth meetings. Listen to your youth leaders. Listen to your mom and dad. But listen, mom and dad, you need to do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Get your face in this book.
Amen.
Spend time with God. Be in church, not just because you need to be here to hear the Word of God preached, but because we need each other.
Yes, sir.
You need to find some people around you that's going to be honest with you and help you.
Amen.
Help you grow for the Lord. We don't have to do this alone. Find some wise people to put around you. Thank you, Father, for your word.
Yes,
thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your people. Help us to use them, each one, to help us in our walk with you. Thank you for being merciful and long-suffering. In Jesus' name we pray.